Welcome to the Exit 68 podcast with your co-hosts, Matt, Justin, and Ben.
I could not be more excited to present our newest sponsor, the Autograph app, presented by Tom Brady. The Autograph app is a curated sports media app for the ultimate sports fan. Using the code Huskies1, download it on the App Store and get free early access. This will give you a chance to win free UConn tickets, customizable merch, and much more. Go Huskies. Welcome back to the Exit 68 podcast. Could not be happier to have Matt on to discuss a very interesting four UConn games. Been about 2 weeks since we last talked. A lot's happened since then. Most recently, one of the ugliest basketball games I've ever seen in my life. UConn escapes with a win versus Providence at Gamble in a game that was completely overtaken by the refs. But before that, you know, we're still number one in the country. Last time we talked was right before the Creighton game, whipped their ass, went down to Nova, beat them in a very close game, got bailed out by a couple late offensive fouls on Nova, came home, absolutely beat the piss out of Xavier in a game that I think really showed everyone what the ceiling of this team could be and how scary that is for the opponents. Sean Miller had some interesting comments after his most recent game explaining how daunting it was trying to play that UConn game. And then, as I just said, most recently, Providence, everyone was super excited. Hadn't had a game for a couple of days, 8:30 at Gamble. It was a blowout. You turn your TV on, and it was a cacophony of fouls. It felt like there was a whistle every 35 seconds. There's actually some data to back that up. It set the record for most fouls in a Big East game this year, a record that was set that earlier that night, which I think says something about the league in the state of refs. Hurley got a T. Honestly, I thought he was going to get another one.
And so did Kim English.
And so did Kim English. But guess what, Matt? UConn's still number one. They're 19-2, I believe. They're absolutely kicking butt all over the place. And, you know, as much as we can complain about the refs, it's still been a pretty awesome season. And I think the best thing about that last game was watching Steph Castle come alive for 20 points, especially his two threes. Welcome back, Matt. A lot to talk about. Let's get into it.
Yeah, a lot to talk about. Thanks for having me back, Matt, or Omen. Listen, I think, you know, we as a fan base dissect every game, but I think you just got to look at the streak they're on and just realize we are winning when we are at our floor, and then we're winning by 40 when we're at our ceiling, right? And there hasn't really been an in-between moment for us the past couple games, and I think that's encouraging. Nova was a close one. Nova has been terrible. But you know, when we stepped foot into Wells Fargo, they wanted to take that one home and gave it their, you know, their best effort. I think that was actually the start for them. Maybe Marquette, but I think that was the start of them going on the skid, was they really wanted that UConn game. And then they put everything they had into that game. When we, you know, came away with a 1-point victory, they've lost, you know, four straight now. So I thought that was a really good win despite their struggles recently. Xavier, obviously an incredible win, firing on all cylinders there. Historical win, really. And then last night, you know, against PC, that's a rivalry game. I don't really care what anybody says. Again, didn't have it offensively. And who comes to save the day but our five-star, you know, lottery pick freshman. So I just, you know, it's scary. I think, you know, UConn, we should be very happy where they are. If we go into MSG on Saturday and win that game, I think we cap off the most important stretch this season, where we have three games in 7 days. And, you know, I think we're very deserving of that number one ranking.
I agree, especially looking around the league. And I think one stat that really exemplifies how good we do have it. Matt, guess how many losses we've had since February 19th, 2023? We're coming up on a year.
Four.
Three losses.
Yeah. So we have the two this year and then Marquette.
Yeah. We're coming up on a year, essentially, of UConn basketball, only seeing them lose three times. And as you just described, we're talking about a team that's dealt with injuries, that's played good games, that's played bad games, that's gone on the road, that's played at home. And guess what? This team's found a way to win. I think the most interesting thing from last game is, you know, it actually felt like the rims may have been a little smaller than normal, because nothing went in. In the beginning of that game, especially when Donnie got in foul trouble, Providence was all over us defensively, man. And it really it affected us, not only trying to run our offense, but also in the rebounding game. I think Hurley, his comments post game kind of reflected that when Klingon was out of the game, Samson was in there. We do really struggle at times to pull down those defensive rebounds and leave ourselves a bit vulnerable. But again, we're kind of nitpicking here. Overall, it was a weird game. They came out with the win. We'll be happy about it. I think the scariest part is just kind of Caravan status going forward. I think anyone who's dealt with ankle injuries knows how they work. He obviously rolled it. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. You can usually play on it that same day. It's probably the size of a
Which
melon
he
right
did.
now, which he did, and he played awesome. It's probably swollen up right now. Hopefully they can control that by Saturday. But if not, then we're going to be playing without, a guy who's just always been there for this team. So that'll be interesting to see. I also think one thing that really stuck out to me is Klingon kind of got worked a bit inside by Providence's big man, who's obviously a George Mason transfer. I thought he played awesome. It
Yeah,
was
he
really
stepped into
interesting to
Bryce
see.
Hopkins' shoes.
Yeah. And you just picture that team with Hopkins, how dangerous they are. What did you see from Klingon? Was he just kind of, playing not his best game? Was Oduro just a little more experienced, kind of getting him in tough spots? He was just very crafty under the rim, man. I love the way that guy played.
Yeah, he's been a stellar piece for them, especially in Hopkins' absence. And they really don't have. They have Castro to back him up, but he's pretty raw and pretty clumsy. Maduro's footwork, I think, is almost as good as Hopkins. So, I think he was going to get his. You knew De DC Devin Carter was going to get his, and they did. They had 20 points apiece, and we were able to contain everybody else. In terms of clinging, and where he stands, I think it's just one of those things. I mean, I think we forget he is a sophomore.
Yeah,
That
he's, what is he, 19?
Yeah, like it's and especially, I think he got baited into that second foul and then didn't play the rest of the first half, and they were calling everything, so it just wasn't his game. But again, I think that's encouraging that UConn was able to show they can win without him on the floor. I was confused. Aduro had 4 with 10 minutes left, and I thought they were just going to try to go at him every possession, and we didn't. So I thought we could have actually gotten him out of the game a lot earlier. So that was interesting. And then your point on the offensive boards, yeah, we struggled real early at home, especially with Klingon going to the bench. But we ended up out-rebounding them on the
Yeah,
offensive end,
somehow.
which is somehow 12 to 11. So, it was interesting looking at the stat line after the game, especially, we were complaining about missed free throws. Providence missed a ton of free throws as well. We
A
each hit.
ton is being nice.
Yeah, that's probably true. And then nobody hit the three ball at all last night. And it's funny, I kind of was thinking about the game, and I was like, we didn't hit a lot of threes, and neither did Providence, but it seemed like both teams hit them when they mattered. But in actuality, I think it's just that every time a three went down last night, you were like, whoa, that's a big shot, because nobody was hitting them at all. So I don't know if the timing was actually as clutch as I previously had assessed. Listen, I think especially Providence coming off of a very emotional win on Saturday, they were due to come in hot. So I think we did well. We bend, we don't break, and that's all you can really ask of this team. They're just not gonna, everybody's expecting that March run from last year where it's not really close and you're comfortable. That's not what happens. Look at all the other top 10 teams right now. Struggling within conference play. I think we have to be very grateful we're 8-1.
I agree, especially in, the Big East is tough as ever. Kim English is shaping up to be a great coach. I really loved, how prepared they were, how active their hands were. Of course, Corey Floyd always plays his best game of the year against us. So that was a tough game and we won. So at the end of the day, you kind of got to be happy with it, no matter how ugly it looked. I thought one thing I really liked to see was Stewart hitting that three, even though it was at the end. He's a guy that's been trending upward. Which is exciting because I think his upside is just super tantalizing. He's kind of taken that solo ball role a bit of kind of the last guy off the bench. Really like the spark that he is providing. I will say, I don't know if you remember the exact play. I wish he took a three earlier when he caught the ball on the outside of arc and then did a little drive and dish. But hey, Jalen, if you're out there, bro, keep shooting. You got a good look and stroke. We need to keep, spacing as hard as we can here, and we got all the confidence in the world in you, young man.
I agree. It's funny though. I do think Jalen will at the end of his career be probably a better player than Solo Ball. But I don't know if it's the UNC game that did it for me, but I'm just like, I think we need to get Solo going. I just think he can go unconscious from behind the arc, and he didn't play a ton last night. His role has diminished since Castle came back, and then Jalen's been taking those minutes and obviously has extra length.
When you get a guy like Donnie in foul trouble and you get a guy like Samson who can't get a rebound, it's a lot easier to go to Stewart thing
The
than Ball.
Stewart over another guard, when especially you have Haas kind of behind Tristan. I continue to hope, and I also think Jalen Stewart's one of those guys who I think he's just going to be really good once he starts to get regular minutes and he has the ball. And he's more of a volume guy than I think Solo is, as crazy as that sounds, given Solo, is kind of a gunner. I think Jalen needs the ball in his hands a lot to be effective, whereas I think Solo Ball can give you kind of these bursts of 5, 10 minutes where he can go and be more effective. But again, in Hurley we trust. I just have this like fantasy of Solo Ball, in the second round, going off from three and just. People being like, "Where did this come from?" Because we've seen it. We saw in that UNC game, and maybe I'm too glued to that performance. But I do want to see Solo getting some more minutes. Now, going forward, I think it's probably prudent to have Jalen get those minutes and become that slasher, because that is more of Hurley's style, right? In terms of how he plays, half to half. So, it's interesting. It's just another, it's another weapon in the armory, and it's what separates us, I think, from other teams.
Yeah, I mean we're ridiculously deep at times, especially when these young guys start to get going. I think Solo, we saw this with Castle a bit. It's so mental for him. I think he really does have all the tools. He just needs to get his confidence up, and it's tough when you don't play a lot, especially when he's kind of playing the role he's playing, where he's really just hanging out there waiting to take threes. I honestly thought he would penetrate a little bit more, and use that athleticism after. Just watching, his high school tape and kind of sizing him up as a player. It's been interesting for me to see him really kind of almost relegated to a shooter. But he's a young kid. I get it. You don't want to overextend him, and I have all the faith in the world that coaching staff knows what buttons to push to get the most out of every guy to help
Absolutely.
this
I
team the
mean,
most.
you look at Steph, and that's been one of the more fun elements of this team,
I
has
agree.
been seeing his evolution. And
Talk
even
about
for a
mental.
five star top 15 recruit, the game was still fast when he got here, and now he's starting to see it slow down a bit, and you saw it on display last night. So, the same thing will happen for Solo. It just takes reps, and the boys are getting them right now in the middle of Big East conference play. So I think that's nothing to worry about, moving forward.
And I thought he honestly did a great job on Carter. I mean, that's a tough matchup for
It's
anyone.
unbelievable.
He's a great athlete. He's obviously got a lot of size. He plays the right way. He's fun to watch, man. I really love watching him. But hey, let's look forward to St. John's here. And guess what? Last time we played this team, I believe we had to play him without Donnie. So it'll be a lot nicer having that tool in the chest going against our boy Soriano. But we're getting the St. John's team. They're pretty desperate. They lost four out of their last five. And are a bit on the ropes, welcoming UConn to MSG, which is really a home game for UConn, as we both know. We're obviously both going very excited to get down to the Garden. It really feels like St. John's has their backs against the wall here. And I was listening to Dowster today, who we're definitely going to get to later, because there's a little bit of the meat to chew on the field of 68 bone, just in the college basketball world. But he brought up a really good point talking about how, UConn's up number one in the Big East right now by a couple games. the end of their schedule is obviously extremely hard.
Yeah.
Playing some really hard road games and just some real quality opponents. This would be a great opportunity to give themselves some breathing room, picking up a win over a beatable St. John's team in a favorable environment so that those last six or seven games, there's really not as much pressure, you know, in terms of the ones that you have to win in order to bring home that Big East title. What do you see from the Johnnies today? How do you think this game's gonna shape up?
Yeah, they had a tough loss last night.
Pretty brutal.
They needed to win that game and they just didn't. But they're one of those teams that really can, I think, surprise people in terms of, you know, conference play. I don't know if they're going to make the tournament at this point. Maybe I think they still very much are in a position to be in a position, as Rothstein would say. But, you know, this is something John said is probably the biggest home game, regular season home game for St. John's in the last 20 years. And I kind of believe it. I mean, I don't think it's going to be nearly the type of atmosphere that we experienced last year, with the Garden really being, you know, UConn's home court.
Really?
It'll be much more 50-50. Yeah, people around here are like, you know, just with the Patino hire,
yeah.
You know, people who haven't had season tickets in 15 years or got them this year, and I think they're making a real stand to at least the alumni and the, you know, casual fans who are St. John's fans who grew up in the city. Are making an effort to go to this game, and I've talked to some people in that of that profile, and you know, they're very adamant about not letting this be another home game for UConn.
That's
so I do
exciting.
Think from it is I mean, you have number one coming into the Garden, like, yeah. How do you not get up for that game? Now I don't know where the students will be, if they're going to show up or not, but I definitely think there's gonna be a lot more Johnny Red than last year. Now in terms of, you know, on the court, I think we're gonna have to play better than we did last night, to be honest. And I think we will. Caravan being out, you know, would be, we're playing in limited minutes, I think would hurt us a little bit. But to be honest, I haven't seen Alex really, you know, when I was saying it to a buddy last night, when Providence was going on that run, you kind of were like, yo, Alex, can you wake up and do something? He's not that guy who just takes over when you're down eight. Now he can do it. We've seen him do it, but he's not going to do it every time. He's not going to force it. So, you know, I think it's going to be up to Trist to again kind of take over if we find ourselves in a tough spot tomorrow.
I just think Caravan's game is just all about not forcing it. You know, he's such an additive piece, and I think that's what makes him special. He just makes things easier for everyone around him with the spacing and his passing. And, you know, I think it's a fair criticism. I think he's an awesome player, but, you know, just the way he plays, he's not going to be taking the ball, putting it on the floor and going to get the rim 10 times a game.
Again, he's a sophomore. We forget sometimes.
I think it's
a fair
point.
The key tomorrow, or I keep saying tomorrow on Saturday, is, you know, Clean can't foul out early or get in foul trouble early. They're very reliant on their guards, St. John. So I think we can go to some small ball, more small ball than we could against Providence.
We played a lot of small ball against Providence. Those lineups were getting tiny at times.
Well, they were getting tiny. That's fair. But I think we didn't want to. We were forced into that. Whereas with St. John's, I think we'll be allowed to play in those sets a little bit more freely. It's going to come down to, you know, I think Soriano versus Clean matchup, right? And then if we contain Jenkins, you know, that's a plus. But I think almost give Jenkins his points and just make sure Soriano's not eating boards.
I think it's such a good point on Klingon. You know, yes, he's a sophomore and he's a young kid, but he's so important to this team. And I mean, he could not have had a worse real two starts to the half yesterday.
No.
Just
no, he couldn't.
Picking up two, and then again, it's like, hey man, we need you out here, buddy. So, you know, obviously it was a little bit of a weird whistle last night. Let's hope our boy Donnie can stay out there, because he's awesome to watch, and he's such a key part of this team.
And, you know, I don't doubt Steph can't have a good game, but, like, I think we're, you know, I don't know if we see that Steph from last night. Garden, that's a tough spot for a freshman. He's playing with a lot of confidence right now. Maybe he comes out and has 20, but I don't know if, you know, if we play the way we do, we can rely on Steph. And so, you know, it's a big stage. And so you have to be conscious of putting a freshman
No,
in that
he's a
position.
guy at this point, when he shows up like that, great. But we can't, he's not a guy like Newton or even Spencer who you really expect in every game. And Spencer's got a lot of makes left after last game because holy shit,
Yeah, I
he was
know.
cold. Oh my
He was
God.
so cold. I mean, our best shooter on the floor last night was Steph, and you know, I'm curious if Pitino has them play up on Castle. I think that's where I'm looking.
I would love that. I think it would make things a lot easier for everyone else.
It totally would. The other thing is, I realized like
His
Cam
shot
kind
also
of.
looks good. His
Yeah, he's shooting
stroke.
it so much better. I think we weren't worried about the mechanics. It
No,
was
it's
just
just mentally.
confidence. The one thing I will say though is when Cam's not hitting his threes, he kind of does clog up the offense a little bit because he's just running around trying to get open on the perimeter. And so like we haven't experienced that Cam Spencer yet where he's kind of like not hitting them. And so last night I felt like there's times where, you know, Newton would go to drive, but Cam's like cutting across the paint, and then he stopped, and like yeah, I don't know, it never came up in previous games because Cam's always kind of, you know, on it. So it's just yeah, I think it's gonna be. Listen, we reset after every win, every game, and so it's gonna be. Nobody really knows what's gonna happen on Saturday.
No, and that's the beauty of the sport. It's absolute chaos, and that's why we love it. I think it's time to get to some off the court items. Number one on the list, I think teased it a little bit before, but very interesting week on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Kind of all started
Also covered.
with a I think it was a Blue Demon Degenerate Twitter account,
Yep.
basically putting together a documentary that I thought was pretty good called Divine Providence. It was entertaining.
This is pretty much your doc.
And it was about kind of Ed Cooley's story. A lot of people were involved, some names we know, some random names as well. And I think the most contentious part about it was some of the Cooley rumors at the end, which you put a camera in front of random Providence fans and ask them what they think of Cooley after he left them like they did. It's probably not going to be all positive. As a result of certain people being involved in the documentary, led to some Twitter exchanges that culminated really in Jeff Goodman kind of going after the Blue Demon Twitter
Yeah,
account,
looking like a
threatening
dickhead.
lawsuits. Kind of looked like a dickhead, as he said. About 2 days later, he came and apologized. I honestly I give him credit for not doubling down. I was a little afraid that, when I started that video, he was going to really try to justify his actions. I think it in a good sense he didn't do that. I do feel bad for Dowster just because people kind of like to make fun of him, but he's a UConn guy. He's a guy who's trying to help a bunch of other people in the media. He's a guy who supports the Huskies. I'm always gonna have a soft spot for a guy like that. He got kind of caught up in the middle of it between defending his guy Fanta and defending his guy Goodman. Kind of a shit show all around. Happy it's behind us. What are your thoughts, Matt?
Yeah, it was an incredible Monday moment. It was phenomenal, I think, for all of us who were just,
Yeah.
you know,
As a
working away in
bystander, it was
our,
great.
yeah, just working away, you know, in our corporate cells, and being able to have that kind of relieve some of the Monday pain was phenomenal because the content was unreal. You just had the entire Big East fan base unite under one roof, and it was on the heels of the Georgetown Providence game where I think everybody still felt some of that unity where they're all rooting for Providence. And it was to defend this kid from DePaul of all freaking schools.
Lowest of the low right now.
You know, and I listen, my take on it, I think, all right, the problem with Goodman, and I think Titus on Barstool said it kind of the best. He's just like, he's a gatekeeper of all the different journalist personalities. So he wants to be like the takes guy, but he also wants to be the breaking news guy, and he wants to be this like buttoned up respected journalist, and he also wants to be like a ball buster, and he doesn't really have like a
A lane,
defined
yeah.
yeah personality. You can't be all those people, and that's why people kind of don't like him. He's just a weird guy. He tries really hard and people don't like him, and he's had some other issues with fans and whatnot. Anyways, went after Ricky Lito years ago when he was
Yep.
just like a 17-year-old kid.
Ricky
So
Lito had a very funny response to him recently on Twitter.
he was just like, listen, I'm doing fine, man. Like, you can go kick rocks. And I agree. Like, Goodman's just like, it's crazy. Like, I see these guys in the media like Goodman, and I'm like, I could just do that. I could just be like, I'm sure Hurley, like, not to be arrogant or like overconfident. I'm just like, I'm guaranteeing
Words
Hurley would
no one would
rather.
ever use to describe you.
Is that? Well, I think like Hurley much rather be interviewed by you or I than freaking Jeff Goodman. Like,
Ask it if his dad beats him.
asking of his dad, to his dad. And
That
that's like
interview was
so.
insane.
Like, and people were just bringing up all these moments with Goodman and how just cringe he's been. Anyhow, I think, and listen, I'm not going to address Dowster because I think you're right. He's a UConn guy and you got to give him some slack, but at the same time, he's in the wrong. But anyhow, I think what it is these traditional journalists, quote unquote, they go to journalism school. Some of them get a master's. They grind at one of the big media companies, and then they kind of finally land themselves in a position where they think they've earned, where they are a mouthpiece for the media on a specific thing. And in this case, it's college basketball. And then here comes this like Twitter kid from DePaul drumming up all this interest in the documentary. And I honestly think these guys feel threatened. I really think that they think they're gatekeepers of what they speak about, and nobody else can have a say on what that's like. And so I think they got really defensive. I think it came out that, they kind of acted like a bitch, and I think people were rightfully mad with everybody involved. And Goodman, I also took it as like people were like, or Dowster was like, they're trying to ask Jeff Goodman to lose his job. And it's like, well, I think people have been sick of Goodman for a couple of years, and they took this as an opportunity. They were saying, what you said and what you did is not cancelable. Like, we can't cancel you over it, but we're just going to take it that far because we've just hated you for so long and try to cancel you. And I kind of respect it. Like, I don't know, man. Fuck it. These guys are such like arrogant pricks, I think, in the media. And this, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but they just think they're spewing gospel. And here's this nobody who threatened their domain, and they just took it really personally and kind of, like softies.
I think everyone understands how we feel. It was definitely a lot of fun on Twitter for those couple of days tracking how everything happened. One other thing I want to touch on before we go.
Donnie Marshall and saying it was a great refereed game last night.
I'm not even going to address that because I think we all know where we stand on that one. Dowster had Andrea Hurley on to do an interview, and there are some great nuggets that I thought were just of note. Just a little insight into our boy Danny and how his brain works. One of my favorites. For Andrea's birthday 1 year, Dan Hurley got her a $50 gift card to the dollar store. She said
Oh, the
she
Andre. I thought you said Little Hurley, Andrew Hurley,
No,
Andrea.
we're talking about
Yes.
Dan.
Unbelievable interview.
Did you listen to it?
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah,
It
it was
was like kind
awesome.
of hot. Like, I need a ride or die, such as Andrea Hurley. Like, she's so ride or die.
She's awesome. I thought one of the funniest parts, not just funny, but just an insight into how intense this is after the Seton Hall loss, she said she had to stick her head into a freezer at Whole Foods to cry because it's been drilled into her that losing is shameful. And we think we take this seriously, but when you live with that guy and your whole life is dependent on winning and losing, and it causes such emotion that you're forced to do that. I think it's just unbelievable. I think it's a testament to how much he cares about this program, how much she supports him, how much she cares. I love her so much. And I thought it was cool that she was able to kind of share that with us, kind of just showing how much it truly means because we care about this stuff a lot, but Dan, that's a whole nother level.
And they talked about how like after that stretch last January, like Danny was going around saying like, honey, we might have to leave, like we might have to be looking for another job. And she was like, what? Like it's stressful. And so you have to give him credit, right?
You have to. I mean, the guy, he puts so much pressure on himself, and that doesn't even count, all the expectations that he has around him from guys like us, from the athletic department, from the media, from his family, from the people in his circle. I mean, it's a brutal job, to get to the point right now where the machine kind of runs itself, takes tens of thousands of hours of blood, sweat, and tears, and a whole lot of heart. And yes, this team's awesome, but we really got to give the guy so much credit, and the whole family, because it takes a village to support a guy and to support a team like this. So thank you, Dan. Thank you, Andrea. Thank
Thank you
you
to
to the
the
Hurley
Hurley
family,
family.
because you guys are awesome, and you've made my life so much better over
I
these
know,
last couple
yeah. You
years.
touched so many people within the UConn community, obviously. And I listened to that podcast on Monday, the day after the Xavier game. And in his post game, somebody asked, were you looking at like the 04 team that was sitting behind the bench at any point in the game? And he was like, they were sitting behind the bench, y'all. Like, I didn't know. The only person I look to in the stands at any point in the game is my wife, right? And that is the only person I just have tunnel vision to Andrea during the game sometimes. And he's like my Jersey girl. Like, if she wasn't there, like, I don't know, like, if I would be on the sideline and stuff like that. So listening to that on Sunday into the Andrea podcast made me almost come to tears. I think it's a love story that literally could be, beyond a rom-com, deserves to be its own independent romantic film at some point in life.
Lots
It's
of
just
twists
really
and turns.
heartwarming.
It's a beautiful story. I love when she, when Danny comes home and is trying to explain to her why they need to leave the college job to go coach St. Benedict's. And all she's thinking to herself is, she's like, we're going backwards. We're going to high school. The
We're
hell's
going
going on?
backwards, yeah. And she said that was the most important 10 years for him, right? And she talks about when they have no money, as you mentioned, the gift card to Dollar Tree or the dollar store
It's
for
incredible.
$50. And like, he's a big gifts guy.
Yeah.
And, he always got gifts even when they're broke. Like, it's very heartwarming stuff. And you can tell there's just a different mentality with the Hurley family. And it's great to see them, just blossom,
I
if you
agree.
will.
I love him so much. As happy as the success of this team makes me, it makes me even happier that they can have a happy household, because I can only imagine what it's like in there when the team's on a losing streak. Holy Christ.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. And I love it. Also, shout out happy birthday to Andrew Hurley. His birthday, I think, was on Tuesday.
Tied the UConn record for made threes in a game with his little step
With
back.
his bank shot. But I forget what Hurley said exactly, but they're like, how did Andrew spend
No, they like spent
his
his birthday pretending to be someone
like
else.
Ticket Gaines? Yeah, he's like, he
Yeah.
spent his birthday pretending to be Ticket Gaines on the scout team. It's great. It's just good. I eat it up, dude. Like, I'm such a, we're all kind of romantics for this team, and it's just it's wonderful. I hope they can, I really hope they can go deep this year.
I agree. More games they play, just the more joy they give us. So let's hope for another long run into March here. Let's hope for a great performance on Saturday in front of a lot of UConn faithful at MSG. And the last thing I want to say is, just want to give our thoughts and prayers to John Fanta and his family. Obviously,
Yeah.
he lost his dad earlier this week. We absolutely love that guy. You talk about a torchbearer for the Big East. In the conference, in the sport of college basketball in general. You could say whatever negative things you want about him if you don't like him, but that dude cares. He shows up. He does a lot
He's got a
for
lot of
the
little
sport that we
Hurley in him.
love. He does. And he loves himself some UConn Huskies. So thoughts are with you, John. Go Huskies, and cannot wait to get to MSG on Saturday.